We're very happy to welcome you to our services tonight. We are especially grateful to welcome those who may be visiting our services. We are truly honored that you come our way tonight. As Bill mentioned, our teenagers and several others are away for area-wide tonight, and we certainly miss them when they're away. It's obvious when they're gone. Of course, many of our college students are already gone for the summer as well. We miss them. I do want to remind you that 2 weeks from tonight, we will have a finger food fellowship. I know I said the word full meal fellowship. I like the sound of full meal fellowship better than finger food fellowship, don't you? But anyhow, we're going to call it a finger food fellowship. And that'll be 2 weeks from tonight on the 16th. At that time, we'll be honoring Brian and Liz and James and Anna and Luke as they'll be leaving us for Colorado. So I hope you'll make your plans to be a part of that. Tonight I want to ask you if you've got your Bible to put your hands on it for just a minute. I want you to put your hand on a Bible tonight. I know where I was sitting, from where I was sitting, as I looked at the few pews in front of me as far as I could see, I saw probably, from what I could count, about 20 Bibles, either in the song racks or laying on the floor. And man, if I could count these I couldn't see up front, that number would have increased. About 20 or so Bibles, just a few feet from where I was sitting tonight. Tonight I want to talk about the Bible, and I want us to realize that all of us, as is illustrated by the fact that we have so many Bibles around us, we have free and ample access to God's holy word, and yet 64% of all Americans fail to read the Bible, and the reason they do not read the Bible is simply because they claim to be too busy. Now, approximately 100 million Bibles are printed worldwide each year. 100 million Bibles every single year. And that makes the Bible, hands down, the best-selling book of all time. 92% of all Americans own at least one edition of the Bible. Philip's not here tonight. I can embarrass him. One night I took him 4 copies of his Bibles that he's left around here from various places that people have found. Took 4 Bibles home. Where'd that come from? You know, he's got one he uses, but there were 3 others too that he had also used. But all of us have access to a Bible. The Gideons distribute over 45 million Bibles each and every year. However, we need to realize that this is a privilege. It's a privilege to have the Word of God. As you lay your hands tonight on your Bible, that is a distinct honor that most people in history have not had the privilege of doing. Because in times past, the Bible, the Word of God, was not nearly as available as it is today. And to make that point, I want us to understand that in the Middle Ages, it took 3 tedious years for qualified scribes to handprint just 1 copy of the Scriptures. 3 years. And so only the rich and the very powerful, the influential, even had access to a copy of the Bible. In fact, back in this particular day and time, and even before that and after that, many people were uneducated. Many people were illiterate, unable to read in their own language, much less the Latin text that was most commonly used in that particular day and time. But we're thankful that in the 1450s, Johannes Gutenberg, a printer from Mainz, Germany, invented what historians have called the most important invention of the past millennium. And of course, you are aware that he invented the first printing press with movable type. And of course, the Bible was the very first project. This particular invention finally opened the door for the opportunity for the common man to eventually have a copy of the Bible. However, even with this kind of invention, it still took 3 years for 180 copies to be made. And so it's still out of the reach of mankind. You think there might be 180 copies of the Bible in all the pews here tonight, or maybe in this building, that are not even being used? But even with this printing press, 180 copies, it took 3 years. Gutenberg Bible costs the average worker a 3 years' salary. Now, if I had something laying on the pew that cost me 3 years of my salary, it wouldn't be laying there on a pew. It'd be in a safe deposit box. It'd be under heavy guard. That's how much a copy of the Bible cost, 3 years' salary. And yet, there were great men who sacrificed their lives. They were executed. They were exiled. They were banished from their homeland. We think about men like Martin Luther and John Wycliffe and William Tyndale, among others, and they sacrificed greatly to have the Bible printed and translated into the common languages of man. And because of efforts of these individuals and many others like them, we today are where we are today. We have free access to God's holy word. But don't you think we take this for granted? Do you think we take for granted tonight that I can pick up a copy of the Bible that would cost an individual centuries ago 3 years of his salary? I think we take for granted that we have access to the mind of God that's been revealed in his word. As I mentioned in the beginning of the lesson, 64% of Americans don't even read the Bible at all because they feel they're too busy. Less than 50% of all Americans can even name the first book of the Bible. 66% do not know who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. In 1997, a Barna survey reported that 12% of those questioned thought Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. And so we realize tonight, as we have ample access to God's Word, that the Bible is, without a doubt, the unread best seller. And so tonight, let's think about the blessings that are ours because of God's Word that we have, that we can read and we can study and we can know the mind of God. We can read for ourselves what God desires for our lives. May I suggest tonight that you have a Bible that's been translated into your own language. We have the English Standard Version, the New King James Version, the King James Version, the American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, just to mention a few. The Bible has been translated into our own language. Do we delight in it? The Bible says in Psalms chapter 119 and verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey is to the mouth. And today, most of us, almost without exception, we've been educated to the point that we can easily study the Bible. We can read the Bible. We can look at history. You think about the access to the internet, for example, that just really opens up the door for a deep study into God's Word. Do you study it? Do you take advantage of the opportunity that you have to know God's Word? The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 148, "My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word." You know, it would have been much better for me to have been born in pre-electronic times. Well, better than that, it would have been better for me to have been born, or maybe to have been born, and disliked sports or athletics. I love to watch athletics on television. I have a problem with that. I will readily admit that sometimes. If I'm not careful, I can allow that to interfere with studying the Bible. Bible says my eyes are awake through the night watches. I'm afraid maybe watching a little too much SportsCenter on the night watches, maybe, or other things. There's other things that get in our way that interfere with our study of God's Word. The Bible says to be diligent, to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How many of you tonight are persecuted because you own a Bible? How many of you fear for your lives that you might be found with a copy of the Bible? Many of those we referred to just a few minutes ago, and others like them, they feared for their lives. And in many cases, they were killed, their families were killed because of their work and their efforts to get the Bible into the hands of the common man. But tonight we have no fear at all of having a copy of the Bible. But are we ashamed to carry a Bible with us? Are we ashamed to be seen with a copy of God's Word? Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And many have sacrificed their freedom, their own lives, to translate the Bible into the common vernacular. You know, as we look at our Bibles tonight, when we really think about all the history and God's providence working to make the fact that we have a Bible available to each of us today, when we contemplate everything that has come about so that we have this copy of God's Word in our hands tonight, we ought to stand in awe because of it. We ought to be amazed by the fact that we even have a copy of God's Word. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 61, "Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your Word." You know, if I were to receive a letter tomorrow from some important individual, maybe even somebody like the president, I would eagerly open that up. I would be in awe of the fact that somebody that important would take the time to write me anything. And I would eagerly read that letter, anticipate what it had to say. Well, the same thing ought to be true in regard to God's Word. We ought to stand in awe of the fact that God cared enough for us that He revealed His will and His mind to us. And then consider the fact that many of the apostles and the prophets were imprisoned, they were whipped, they were violently executed so that we might have the copy of God's word. These men gave their lives as inspiration, gave them the words that were then placed in an inspired book. Do you walk worthy of what's been written in that book? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called." Now, we're to make a living today in a way that's honest. But our main calling today, every one of us, is to be a faithful child of God, bringing glory and honor to God every single day that we live by the way we act and by the words that we say. And then consider the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified so that you might have the truth. Jesus died. He told his apostles that when he went back to his Father, that he was going to send the Comforter. He was going to send the Helper. And this Helper would guide them into all truth. He would bring all things to their remembrance. And sure enough, that's exactly what transpired. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and we're thankful verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Simon once said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life." John 6:68. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He that rejects me and does not receive my words hath one that judgeth him. These words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And then let me suggest as well tonight that you have the life-giving gospel. Are you not willing to share it with others? You know, we often hear about efforts to find a cure for cancer. Wouldn't it be something if someone discovered the cure for that dreaded disease? Or the cure for some other dreaded disease that plagues mankind? I mean, if the cure were found, it would make headlines all over the world. A cure for cancer. How would you feel about somebody, some great scientist, some great doctor who found the cure for cancer, but he kept that secret to himself and never revealed it? We would think that that individual would be the most horrible person who's ever lived. To have the knowledge to give life to so many people who aren't going to make it because of that disease of cancer, simply because he kept it to himself. We have the cure for sin. We have the cure that ails what separates us from God. Are we not willing to share it with others? We need to go into all the world and preach the gospel, as Jesus said to every creature, Mark 16 and verse 15. You know, back in the Middle Ages, many parents could not even read the Bible to their children. They didn't have a copy of the Bible. They couldn't sit down at night and read Bible stories to their children or read from the text of God's Word. The Bible was simply not available. I ask you, do you read the Bible to your children? I know you make sure they have their assignments done, their homework done, their schoolwork done appropriately. Do we read the Bible to our children? Back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, the Bible says, "These are the words which I command you today. They shall be in your heart." And the Bible says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, or when you walk by the way, or when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." These folks were to diligently and consistently teach and demonstrate God's word to their children. We are admonished as fathers, and I think parents in general, to bring up our children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. That's something that we can do because we have a copy of the Bible. And let me say as well tonight as we close, that you have the divinely revealed mind of God that's been recorded for you in this book. What's your attitude toward it? Do we twist it? Do we try to make the Bible appeal to how we want to live? Do we try to change what God's Word says to make it go along with what we want to do and how we want to live and how we feel things ought to be done? Do we pervert it? Do we add our own opinions to it? Paul warned some folks in Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. He said, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. But there be some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Paul said, "Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed." We have the mind of God sent to us. We need to stand in awe of it. We need to read it. We need to obey it and realize what a blessing it is to have it. And so tonight, you have within your grasp the words of eternal life. Do your eyes fail from searching it? Do you love God's Word? Do you love it to the point that you'll do anything to gain the knowledge that's found therein? We need to follow the example of the Bereans in Acts 17, verse 11, whom the Bible describes as they search the Scriptures daily to see or to find out whether these things are so. Tonight we're going to sing a song of encouragement. Maybe you're not a Christian tonight. Maybe you've thought about it. Maybe you've considered it. Becoming a Christian is not something